Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habecker with us.
Good morning.
We got the normal Monday gang together. It's going to be fun. We got a lot of great things lined up for you throughout this morning. Of course, our usual unusual suspects to kick things off in the 7 o'clock hour here. We'll get into our National Day of Calendar. And in a little bit in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little bit later in the 9 o'clock hour, we kick things off with the Kitchens Open, the show inside the show. Mm-hmm. Melissa and Beth's mm-hmm. cooking show. We'll get into that. And after that, we'll have some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day as well. And at some point, well, actually, I'll tell you right now, we're going to draw a winner today for yes. our Cam It Up contest. We've been doing with our friends at Quality Foods IGA.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do that probably right after Melissa's news.
All right.
Awesome.
And do it right there, right in that same sweet spot that we've been able to grab qualifiers all the time. So
perfect.
Seems like a good place to be able to do that. We're looking forward to it. We got an interesting week here ahead of us. Actually, the next, really, now until the end of the year, mm-hmm. Where it is, where we've got this kind of fringe time here and in between and all that stuff. So we'll get into a lot of our schedule and other things as well. But before all of that stuff, most importantly, let us find out how everybody's doing. I want to try something different. We're actually going to go door to door of every Rapids
Excellent.
Listener. We are not going to be able to do that. Not in the budget. Turns out, not in the budget.
Aww.
Melissa, how
and
you
also,
doing?
Also, it's 7 degrees outside,
it is.
James.
Yeah.
Just a bit chilly.
I don't feel like going out there any more than I have to.
No.
I don't care about the snow. I don't even mind the slush and all that stuff. It's the cold.
Yeah.
It is the bitter cold that gets you.
Yeah.
It's those single digits.
Yeah.
Those are icky.
Yeah. How was your
weekend?
Yeah,
I had a good weekend. We had our family Christmas on my dad's side, so we all got together at a hall and just hung out, had food, played lots of games.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good time.
Yay.
Did you get any cool new toys?
Well, I won a bingo prize,
okay.
and I picked out pencils.
Okay.
Nice.
Because everybody brings, random stuff
around. Yeah, yeah.
So
right
I picked out pencils, but then there was a game that happened later where the pencils were needed, and I never got my pencils back.
Oh, no.
So I got no prize.
No prize. No prize.
Well, I ended up bringing home the prizes I brought for bingo because people didn't take them. So, I guess that's fine.
That's, maybe that's the way to do this. You know, you get your just get yourself your own stuff and everything and be able to do it.
But, yeah, we everybody brought donations for the food pantry here in town because that is something that my grandma really pioneered with us, and we wanted to keep the tradition going. So
that's cool.
I'm trying to coordinate with Father Tim and see if I can get those boxes to him sometime this week.
Very nice.
Does your family have this where Beth asked you the same question, where you guys play games on holidays? I hear that from a lot of different families. It seems like more and more recently. And I'm trying to think, and I don't know if we ever did that. I don't know if I can't think if we did that.
Well, my boyfriend was a little taken aback. He's like, there was a lot that went on. There was an agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There were so many games played. I have been to that hall multiple times, and never have I seen so many games played in such a short period of time. Because we played, speed bingo, and then we had I don't want to say beer pong, but it was like jingle bell pong, pong,
okay.
where you got to toss the jingle bells into these little cups that were attached to a board shaped like a tree.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we did have you seen the game Heads Up?
Yes.
Where a person holds the card on their head with a word on it, and everybody else has to get them to guess what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Oh, that's what that game's called.
Yeah.
Or headbands. Yeah.
We did that at, we had all the tables had the game going on at the same time.
Oh, funny.
And then we're all trying to get each other to guess. And it was hilarious when our table decided to switch to, telling them the clues out loud to silent charades. the big bad wolf,
I
was the pig, and
nice.
My Aunt Susan could not stop laughing. It was rather hilarious. So we had a lot of good time together, good laughter, good conversation. It was fun.
Excellent.
We had to, we the only time I've ever tried to play that game, Heads Up, which I never heard that that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. That's great to know. Thank you, Mel. We played it at the end of a show. And us and a bunch of actors along with like that, you know, it was a cast party. So they had a bunch of family there and everything. And we were going around doing this. But one of the actors, their daughter, kept running around and telling everybody, like, like telling everybody who they had on them. Because she thought that was the game. She thought, so I don't know if I ever really played it. I don't know. The game kind of got ruined right away. But that was it. That's really cool to hear, too. It's nice to get those out of the way. Do you find that when you can get something like that before actually Christmas comes around or Christmas Day, it's a pregame? It's practice. It's practice to...
A little bit of that. You know, at least I enjoy the time with family, but it does get to seem to be a lot with because every weekend is busy. But so it's nice to have that one under the belt, and was good to spend time with family.
Did you guys in Abbotsford? I didn't get a chance to see. Did you get hit by a lot of snow?
Oh yeah, we have quite a bit of snow up here. Fair amount.
Right on, right on. Beth, how was your weekend?
It was busy. We finished up our performances, and it went well. We had great crowds for all of our shows, and worship went well. It was our children's Christmas program, so it's always fun to see the kids up front and doing their thing. And so just kind of, and now it's shifting gears, getting ready for what this coming week brings with our Blue Christmas service on Wednesday, and then Christmas Eve on Saturday, and Christmas morning on Sunday morning. So lots to still do.
Is it easier to have service on Christmas Day? You know, having it fall, have Christmas Day fall on a Sunday. Does that mean you just get it all taken care of in one day?
No, that's not how it works?
That's not how it works. I'm very new to this stuff.
Well, you know, Christmas Eve is usually the big service. That's what everybody comes to. And so I know of congregations that have decided not to even have a service on Sunday morning because the thought is everybody's coming Christmas Eve. Nobody's going to want to get up
that early
and come on Christmas morning. But our congregation said, you know, it's still Sunday. And every Sunday's what we refer to as a mini Easter, so we remember the other part of why the child was born. And so we're going to go ahead and have service, but we're going to do something special. It's a unique tradition in the Moravian Church, which we only do occasionally, called a love feast. And basically, it's you get to eat during worship. It's not a sacrament, so you don't have to be Christian. You don't have to be confirmed or be able to take communion. It's just usually it's a simple roll and a cup of coffee. We're going to do a sugar cookie and chocolate milk, so it's more accessible to everybody. Nice. So, and then during, you know, it gets handed out while people are singing hymns, and while you're eating, usually there's somebody doing some songs and things like that for you to listen to, and then it all gets collected and while you're singing some more. And so it's just kind of a fun, more familiar, you know, kind of a family kind of atmosphere to it.
Yeah. I went with my Nana a couple times to Midnight Mass, and I always enjoyed that. Do you guys do that kind of thing?
Our congregation does not. It's not necessarily that. That we usually reserve for New Year's Eve. We would do a watch night service, so we would start at 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve and worship until midnight. But our congregation has said, no, that's just not something that we're into anymore. So we don't do that kind of thing. We have a 4 o'clock and a 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So, you know, if you've got family plans for the evening but still want to come to worship, you can come to the 4 o'clock. And then a lot of people work into their family Christmas routine coming to the 7 o'clock service.
Very nice, very nice. And how do you feel about the run ending? Of course, for those that don't know, Miracle on 34th Street, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's holiday production wrapped up this weekend.
It's bittersweet. You know, it was a great cast. We really bonded very, very well. And so I'm going to miss being with those people. I'm going to miss being on stage and performing and hearing the joy that we bring to the crowds that are there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to miss being busy every single night of the week.
Certainly. Certainly. Yes.
So
you've never heard any actor say, I'm going to really miss having to memorize all those lines. I'm really going to miss that. That's good. Do you think there should be a rule that for... Give it a week. I say a week after a show that if you choose to, you can have somebody who will cheer for you every time you walk into a room.
That would be or great. Do so,
just because it's hard. It's hard to lose
withdrawal.
That. You go through withdrawal. There's not a lot of situations in life where people clap for you.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling when you really think about it. Like
right.
Anything you do in life, usually you get some response maybe mm-hmm. to it, but not necessarily. it's a weird kind of. I'm happy to hear that the run went well, and I heard great things for the community. Heard a lot of good stuff, and also heard very good numbers box office wise and that. So that is fantastic.
We had over 800 people come see the show.
Well done, everybody. Well done.
That's awesome.
Very, very cool to hear. And you guys deserved it. It was a great cast, great run. And you can go ahead and now take a little bit of a sort of break from that part of it. Not like you have a break from anything else that's going on. Has anybody ever thought about the origins of certain things? Like, who started the whole clapping thing?
I don't know.
Clapping seems like one of those ones where it seems so simple and so basic. But it feels like it was one of those things that happened and... Oh, hey, whoa.
Hey, there's a sound there.
Hey,
wait,
whoa.
What?
Hey. Oh, I like this. Oh, you know, it just does. And I wonder who was the one that decided that clapping was a good thing?
Well, you know, it's a step up from clicking your tongue or mm-hmm. snapping your fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
It's louder. Because, I mean, those are also things that you can do to acknowledge something wonderful happening.
Yeah. Now, but the snapping thing. Now, imagine if there was no clapping, but snapping our fingers was how we showed praise. We showed, bravo.
Well,
bravo.
For the deaf community,
my fingers are so tired.
For the deaf communities, because they can't hear any of that, they just shake their hands in the air.
Yeah.
So that you can still see that they appreciate what you're doing, even though there's no noise to it.
I respect and genuinely love the deaf community and know a number of people in there and have met a number of them thanks to the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. honestly. Just being blunt, I didn't grow up knowing them. But
right.
Recently, I've been very honest with them about this. I want to steal that. I think that should be, that should replace clapping.
Oh, yeah.
Clapping's okay. Clapping's great. Clapping's been around for what? 1,000 years, a million years, whatever, and everything. Let's upgrade. Let's go on. That is so much fun. That just feels great. And you're not hurting your hands.
Nope.
You're not smashing your hands. Does anybody else find themselves doing that? I get really excited and I clap and I'm smashing my hands together.
Yep.
Like they're not my
own
hands.
You're sore by the end of
Why am I doing that? Mm-hmm. They're my hands. It's one thing if I high-five my best friend or something like that. Like it's his hand. Let him deal with that. But I'm hurting my own hands by clapping. We will. We got some other fun things going on this week. I wanted to touch on just our schedule here at the station. Of course, we're going to get into a bunch of fun up until 10 o'clock, and then it is Playmakers for the day. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. We want to hear from you. It's the Sports Call-In Show brought to us right here at WFHR, thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. We're going to have a good one lined up for you today. Be sure to join us from 10 to 11. Plenty to talk about sports-wise. And a little bit later, speaking of sports on this radio station, we will have the Greg Gard Show on WFHR at 6:05. Then on our sister station, WIRI, Wisc Country 105.5. Join us at 7:10 when our pregame will start up. Loyal at the Assumption Girls. Going to be a good one. Randy and Don on the call for that one. It's going to be really good.
Wonderful.
We'll get into the rest of our schedule here a little bit later. For right now, we're going to go ahead and take a break. Come back with our National Day of Calendar and plenty more fun. It is Beth, Melissa, and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. The morning's on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you, and it is time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this December 19th, 2022. And it's Look for an Evergreen Day.
Okay.
Every year, one thing remains the same around the holidays. People everywhere have to decide at what point before the big day, they're going to go out and hunt down a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for an evergreen day is about the last opportunity you have to, if you haven't already gotten, yours to ensure you have a tree for the holidays.
You mean Indeed. You can't be like Charlie Brown and just get it Christmas Eve?
I think you can.
More than likely.
Evergreens are beautiful and they really are a perfect Christmas tree, mm-hmm. the traditional Christmas tree. I don't believe there is a wrong tree. I've seen people use palm trees out in California. I've seen all kinds of things. The Charlie Brown tree, of course.
Yeah.
I've hung my ornaments on a lamp.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
My Christmas tree this year.
Or get a whole bunch of those little clear command strips and stick them on your wall and get a green piece of yarn.
Yes.
And create it. And then you can hang ornaments from the string that you've strung across.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the last time they did this. My mom and dad don't. While my mom put up a ton of Christmas stuff around the house, they don't have a tree up this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first year, and I can ever remember them doing this. It's part in health reasons, and also the grandkids. You know, they're not going to be around as much. They're going to go see them. They're not coming here. So, a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been tempted to try to, like, I've told my mom, I will for an hour. Let her put tinsel on me, and I'll just stand in the living room.
Dressed completely in green, like nice green long t-shirt and brown pants.
I figured this will cover the Christmas gift, right? Actually,
right. There you go.
Hanukkah and Christmas. No, nothing.
Art.
A good deed. Yeah.
She barely laughed at the idea. Barely laughed, which I also thought very funny. Thought very funny idea. Barely got a laugh, and she did not seem to take me seriously at all.
Oh, no.
Which is probably the best case. It's probably safest to do with me always.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the safest way to handle that. Even if you've already got your tree up for this year, this is a great opportunity to go out and familiarize yourself with other types of evergreens in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and discover that these regal giants are around you all year long.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are bending over right now with all of the weight of ice and snow on top of them. But yeah. Yes, they're out there.
They look so pretty with the white snow clinging to them.
Mm-hmm.
Evergreens have played an important role in many societies throughout the ages, selected for religious observance due to their seemingly eternal nature, even in a season of death. But that's not the only place they're represented. The Native Americans of the Pacific Northwest were entirely reliant on the red cedar for multiple aspects of their culture. Whether they were making clothing, fishing line, ropes, or building their homes or canoes, the red cedar was vital, part of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of ways to celebrate this day. Enjoy the mighty evergreen today.
Yes.
National Oatmeal Muffin Day.
Ooh,
yum. I'd eat that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had one of those, but I would try it. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe one way that I would really like oatmeal. I don't really tend to eat oatmeal. That might be one way I could actually trick my body into eating it.
I think I've actually brought you muffins, oatmeal muffins, with chocolate chips.
I probably liked them. I did like them.
Especially there's chocolate in
them. I did like them. Yes, yes, immediately.
It's sneaky the way that you can use oatmeal and people don't even realize it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I definitely did like them. I can say that confidently even without remembering because you've never brought anything that I did not like, Beth. I would remember that. Like, oh, I remember that one thing because it was the only one thing that you brought that I didn't like or something.
Then you should talk to Seth because he has plenty of things that don't taste good that I make.
Oatmeal. I mean, muffins are great.
Yeah.
I just like muffins in general, but that's a good one. I don't want to do this next one.
Oh, come on.
This next one's so ridiculous. So conformalist and pointless.
You can do this.
Ugh, fine. It's National Emo Day, everybody. For those who love emo music, emo fashion, and emo culture, way to conform.
All right.
Yeah. This is the day to celebrate in a dark and emotional way, of course, if you want to do that whole celebrating thing, I guess. Fine, let's talk about being emo.
Yeah.
Being emo is basically what I'm doing right now. No, it's not. It's culture. It got its start in the 80s. The emo subculture and genre of music was born out of post-hardcore alternative rock, indie rock, and punk rock. The signature of emo is the lyrics that lean particularly towards an emotional nature.
Hmm.
Then they mentioned bands that are not emo to me, so I'm not even going to go through all this. Now, The Cure, Depeche Mode, things like that, that is emo to me. That mm-hmm. is that's more, but that's where my generation, every generation has their new emo bands or their emo style or whatever. And it's each their own. I always get silly to me when people want to, this is this genre of music. This is this genre of music. It's music.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the way they're talking about how emo bands and followers dress, this sounds very goth to me.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between goth and emo if they're wearing a lot of black clothing, pale skin, heavy eye makeup? I mean,
there's a number of different ways to answer that, but I find it funnier to ask people who are emo and goth what the difference of being emo and goth is. Or better yet, if you know, call them the other. Oh my gosh, they'll get very upset. But then, if they get upset, I mean, it is kind of leaning into what they're looking for here. If they enjoy darkness and misery and all that, well, I mean, you know, you're kind of helping them do that. I mean, it's not a bad thing, maybe. There's a lot of, I will say this, I have never seen anybody more dedicated to this like kind of subculture than some of the kids I saw in Texas. You really have to be dedicated to the whole emo, goth, whichever one you want to call it, wearing nothing but black and black eyeliner and all that in Texas heat.
Oh, yeah.
In Texas heat, in the middle of the hottest days of summer, seeing them walking around black trench coats and black eye paint and black, like, okay, you win, man. Mm-hmm. All right, you win.
That's
like,
dedication.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you do, I guess. I've seen guys, fans of sports teams that have not gone to as much to dedicate themselves to their team
right.
as some people with the emo culture. So, especially Texas emo people. That's something right there. We'll give them a lot of credit.
More power to them.
Yeah.
I don't know about the whole style and a lot of that stuff, but I will say there's plenty of the music that I enjoy. And it's kind of funny to me, but I've talked to other people about this that have studied music, that have gone to school for this and everything. And all those things where the origins of emo come, I think off the top of your head, you can kind of consider and assume. But one that you might not think of is blues. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense that it would. But I don't think a lot of people realize that. That one of the origins of really a lot of people consider the original emo music is the blues.
Well, in the definition, it talked about the lyrics and what are
and the
blues.
The emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just, you would not think, I don't think off the top of your head, you would necessarily put those two worlds together. It's kind of cool. It's National Hard Candy Day.
Ooh, get your Jolly Ranchers.
Yes, it's a good day. Cinnamon or peppermint, butterscotch or strawberry, hard candy is delicious no matter what a person's favorite flavor is. Reminiscent of Grandma, who would always carry those hard candies in her purse.
Or have them sitting in a bowl when you got to her house.
What do modern day grandmas do? Do they still do this, or does a modern day grandma have to like change the game a little bit here?
Mine had fun sized candy bars in a cookie jar for us, so we always got Snickers.
There was that. Nana didn't like our meals to be messed with, so she wouldn't have too many sweets around, but she would let us like pick at everything. Like whenever she was making, she was always cooking. I swear that woman was literally always cooking. So whenever she was, you can pick at the food or, you know, whatever there.
Yeah.
She always had, especially once the rise of dollar stores started, she'd always have like a little something for you. Like just a little trinket, a little toy or something like that. Until we got older as kids and my parents or relatives would get dogs. And as soon as you had a dog in the house, if that kid was over like 13, forget about it. Forget about it. That kid didn't matter. It was all about the dog. Yes. And the dog got treats. The dog got gifts and stuff and everything. Yes.
And my grandma Jean always gave us wine as adults, not as children.
I like the idea if you just let that sit there. She always gave us wine. You know. Did you grow up in Europe? Did you? I really want to know. Okay, so let's open the phone lines for a second here. 424-2600. 424-2600. Any grandmas out there listening, what is the like, do you still do the hard candy thing? Or what is the modern equivalent to hard candy? Or is it just, candy in general? 424-2600. We'll keep the phone lines open now until the end of the hour, so you don't have to call right this second. If you think of something you want to call in during the show, we'll get you on the air with this. For now, we will say goodbye to our National Day of Calendar for today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody wave goodbye.
Bye.
Why are you waving goodbye? That's ridiculous. I was joking. It's an inanimate object.
It was a bit. Oh, sorry.
No, that was good, Beth. That was good. You're a great. That's what team players do. They jump right in. Thank you, Beth. I don't know if Melissa was waving.
I'm not telling.
We will take a break. Get to Mel's news. We'll come back. Have some more fun here on the morning show at WFHR.
Oh, you just ruined it. It's Whamageddon. Now you got me.
Oh, darn it. Oh. It, you can blame your husband. I didn't put it in the machine. I didn't put it in the system.
Are you familiar with this game?
A little bit. Explain to the audience.
So you start with like December 1st or right at Thanksgiving, and you see how far you can go into the season without hearing Wham's version of This Christmas.
Oh, really?
And then you're knocked out as soon as you hear it.
Okay, so it is what I thought it was. Okay, yeah, I have heard that. Yep. Both of us are, because I had not heard it until now either.
Way to go, Seth.
Yep. Yeah, Seth, I blame you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great Monday. Happy start to the week. Thanks for kicking it off with us. What we've been doing in this time slot the last 2 weeks was playing some food trivia with our friends at Quality Foods IGA as we ham it up here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. We have grabbed all of our qualifiers, so it is now time to finally announce our winner. Beth is going to draw the winner. Before that, though, Beth, I did want to remind everybody, you've got plenty of time to still call into Quality Foods IGA for your food needs this holiday season. Keep them in mind. They got some great seafood sales going on, snowlit crab legs, jumbo cooked shrimp, popcorn shrimp. I just want to talk about popcorn shrimp and that kind of stuff for a while, actually. It was just an excuse to be able to do that. That's all it really was. Plenty of spirits as well.
Yeah.
If you are, the holidays, hey, sometimes they are just a nice little touch to the day.
Yeah.
You know, just a nice little addition to a nice evening or a nice event. And sometimes they are vital. They are needed. They are necessary. Don't want to be shorthanded on the spirits. Get them at Quality Foods IGA as well. And we've talked about this a little bit, and I wanted to just make sure to mention it one more time before we wrap up, especially because I've heard from the audience a lot of people are taking advantage of this year. Quality's Complete Christmas Dinner.
Ooh.
This is something you want to order by December 23rd, and you'll be able to pick it up by 3 o'clock on Christmas Day. They have a ham dinner that'll serve 8 to 10. And that's a 3.5-pound ham off the bone, 4 pounds of mashed potatoes, 2 pounds of beef gravy, a couple pounds of homemade stuffing, some King's Hawaiian rolls, some green bean casserole, and a bunch of slices of variety cheesecake. That is $84, and that is going to serve, again, about 8 to 10. Then they have their prime rib dinner, serve about 3. Mm-hmm. So more like for Christmas, like for Sam and I, you know, when we get together, this is more for us. 2-pound prime rib, 3 cheese twice baked potatoes, 4-cut King's Hawaiian rolls, some green bean casserole, and some variety cheesecake. $80 for that. So if you don't feel like it, if you are not able to, if you just want them to cook, whatever the reason, reach out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA. Be sure to do that before December 23rd. And again, you'll be able to pick it up by 3 o'clock on Christmas Day. If you want to use the West Grand Avenue location, you give them a call at 715-423-9750. That's 423-9750. Or our Baker Drive location, 715-423-8350. 423-8350. Buy local, support local, support our good friends over at Quality Foods IGA. It has been so much fun this past year, really working with them more and more. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a couple of giveaways like this we've been able to do. Our audience, we love trivia. Great job by everybody with that. Nice job by the promotion work with everybody on this one. Our whole staff chimed in trivia questions for this one and our past trivia contest we did. So great job, everybody, with this.
Lots of fun.
It is time for us to draw our winner. Melissa, you want to help me do a drum roll? Help me drum roll. Drum roll. Drum roll.
Here we go. And our winner is... Dave Schatzman.
Oh, Dave.
Dave.
Dave. Dave. Dave Schatzman.
Way to go, Dave. Yay.
Yay. Woo-hoo. Dave. Let's see here. Dave won on December 7th.
All right.
In the 19th century, what fruit was traditionally put into stockings? Dave knew it was oranges.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, no, he didn't. Remember? If I remember this, that was when Terry was here.
Yes, I do remember, actually.
I love the debate. Apples and oranges.
Yes, it was great. It was really good. Well, congratulations, Dave. We are so happy for Dave and his family. Dave's going to enjoy this one. Thank everybody that played along. Thank you so much for getting in on this one, everybody.
Yes.
We had a lot of fun with it. keep on listening, because we'll be doing more of these kind of things, especially as the new year kicks in. We'll be looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But certainly also keep in mind that any of your needs you might end up needing, please reach out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA. And if you are a business out there and you found this to be fun or interesting, reach out to our sales staff, our marketing team. They're not only the best in the business, but we, well, we actually, it's part of our business motto. We really work in fun. We are like fun. That's one of our categories, one of our main things. We do communication, information, fun, yeah, some of the stuff we do around here.
And we enjoy the challenge of trying to figure out those trivia questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
A big, humongous thank you to the best listeners in radio.
Yes.
You guys calling up every day, giving us qualifiers for these.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many feelings more like bird on a wire than asking a question and you don't get any answers.
Right.
Nobody calls into your morning show.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. So we appreciate you guys stepping up and doing that. We've had a lot of fun with this one. And again, reach out to our friends at Quality Foods IGA, not just for their Christmas dinner, but for all your cooking needs. They are at West Grand Avenue location at 715-423-9750. And the Baker Drive location, 715-423-8350. A big congratulations to Dave Schatzman and his
yes.
friends and family and everybody that's going to win this free ham. We'll talk to Dave. When we get a chance here, make sure him and his know. For now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR. Be sure to join us right at the start of the 8 o'clock hour. We will have our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center joining us. Looking forward to that. Get an update from them and find out what Mother Nature's got in store for us today. It is looking like it's going to be mainly just cold. It doesn't look like we're going to be getting a whole lot of flurries and a lot of that stuff. But don't take my word for it. We'll find out in 8 o'clock hour. I'm just a wannabe newsman. Or weatherman.
Weatherman.
And finding the weather fascinating.
Yeah.
You know? More so when I don't have to deal with it, when it's other people's weather that I'm focused on and learning about. Ooh, going on in the East Coast here. What's going on down south? I find that a little more interesting as much.
Yeah.
So I came across an interesting survey here. This seems like a pretty good time of year to do this. I was going to wait until next year, sometime in maybe February even. But now, Christmas cookies. Let's talk that now.
Okay.
Seems like a good time of year
to do
that.
Sounds like it. Yep.
Probably better now than it would be in July. Christmas cookies, we have a uniquely searched Christmas cookies by states in 2022. So which cookie, what state, and what were they Googling? What kind of cookies were they Googling? America's most popular Christmas cookies for 2022. So what was the most searched for cookies? You guys want to take a guess at this one? Or it's pretty basic.
I'm wondering if sugar cookie is up there.
Yeah, just sugar cookie is what comes to my mind.
Sugar cookie, final answer. Sugar cookie, yes. Nicely done. You win.
Good, our reputation still holds, Melissa.
Yes, you win. Yes.
We can still do the show.
Yeah, yep. I probably should have told you beforehand. Had you got it wrong, I would have taken over your cooking show. Yes. And it would be nothing but bacon double cheeseburger talk for the rest of the...
Good thing you fed us the answer before we started.
Fed us the answer, huh? Fed us the answer.
It was sweet.
So here's an interesting one. Yeah, sugar cookies, gingerbread, and peanut butter blossoms, according to Google Trends, are the most popular Christmas cookie trends.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know what butter blossoms are.
They are a peanut butter cookie with a Hershey Kiss in the middle.
Okay. Yep. Those are
good. If you really want to make them festive, use sun butter instead of peanut butter, because sun butter with the baking soda oxygenizes and it turns green. It's still good. It's not moldy, but when you open it up because of the oxidation,
yes,
the sun butter turns green inside. So it makes it even more festive.
I was going to say,
festive.
Makes it more festive. I like that.
And another idea, I had some this weekend that had a Rolo in the middle instead of
that's
kiss.
Fun. That's
so, yeah,
fun.
They were caramel. Yum.
Chocolate caramel peanut butter. Yum.
I like that idea. Used to anger people because I would just take the chocolate, the Hershey Kiss off of there.
Yeah.
Got in trouble for that real quick.
Yeah, I bet you did.
So consumers are going to buy or bake Christmas cookies to serve or gift to family members and friends ahead of the holiday. Desserts are on the Christmas shopping list for 61% of holiday revealers.
Mm-hmm.
That are going to so 61% of people are going to purchase these cookies, not make their own.
Oh,
Well, there are places where they've got like drive-through cookie bars.
Wow.
And you can, and didn't we have one at Quality Foods where you could get up to,
yep.
what was it, like 8 pounds of
cookies? Yeah, it was 8 pounds of cookies. Yep.
Yeah.
They had the cookie walk, yeah.
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 And apparently, so one of the things that was stood out to the viewer, to the takers of this survey, and it comes from Axios, was that flip. From the from the late 70s to early 80s, that mm-hmm. it was the other way around. Mm-hmm. And now it's been more of this. And there's no real rhyme or reason to it either, other than... there's no real rhyme or reason to it other than in inflation at times throughout these last 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. Okay, so outside of that, here's something that I'm thinking, though. Doesn't this tend to be, and this might be, you know, something in general just with cooking, that we hand down?
Yeah.
You know, mom or dad or whoever it is teaches us a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And if they're not being handed down, then maybe you just stop doing it.
I wonder if it's the change in lifestyle. Like, I remember my mom, who was a homemaker for most of my childhood and did a second career thing after we were all old enough. But Christmas was her favorite time. And we would have like 10 different varieties of cookies and she would have us in the kitchen helping her make all of them. Mm-hmm. Well, nowadays with what I do and both parents working, there's not as much time to spend with the kids in the kitchen anymore. So this is a way to still have the cookies without needing, because it takes time to bake. It does.
It absolutely does.
It's a lot of fun. It's enriching, but it takes time. And if you don't have the time to do it, then it's easier to just go out and buy something that somebody else has already made.
Mm-hmm. When time is such a factor, you know, and if you're working a job and mm-hmm. you're trying to be a mom or a dad at the same time, which, all parents are doing, you know, mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
Another great way to do it is to do a cookie exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a group of people that all make, each one makes one type of cookie, but then you all exchange, like everybody gets, so you make like 6 dozen and you give 5 dozen of them away, but you get 5 dozen different varieties.
Exactly.
So then you have 6 dozen different kinds of cookies for your Christmas party.
Why don't we do this every month? We've been doing this every month. This is a great idea.
But the nicest thing about the cookie exchange, like she's talking about, is you can control your allergens then, too. Mm-hmm. So if you know somebody has a dairy thing, then you make cookies that don't have dairy. If you have a nut allergy, you make cookies that... And then that way you know the cookies that you're getting are safe.
Right.
One of my students last night said that she was disappointed that we haven't upgraded the cookie yet. She's waiting for a cookie 2.0. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, chocolate chip and, you know, Oreos. And she's mentioning all these cookies. Like, I don't know. They don't seem like every 5 seconds there's a new Oreo. Every 5 seconds there's a new Oreo being created. Have you ever gone down the cookie aisle before in any grocery store? I mean, what are you talking about? What are they're always constantly. She pushed back on that. She did not. I think that's the same thing. It's just they're changing something. That it, therefore it's not the same thing. What are you expecting the cookie to be? If it evolves too much, it just becomes a muffin. I mean, it's just,
so she's underwhelmed by her cookie options.
Yes. Yes.
I would suggest and recommend, highly recommend, that she visit Third Street Bakery in Duluth, Minnesota. Mm. They have the most amazing cookies.
I love places like that.
It's a locally owned co-op, and the cookies are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I go to Duluth, we have to go there. Get cookies.
If I was any good at business or running franchises or anything like that, I would be tempted to do this job or quit it or do it part time just so I could open up one of those shops that they have now with the crazy cookies or the crazy muffins or, you know, they got like a billion things on them and everything. Mm-hmm. They're really popular in bigger cities. I think mm-hmm. it'd be great to have one around here.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that place would do great. Like, it would do really good.
Yes.
Linzer cookies were uniquely searched in Massachusetts, so that means the state searched for it more than the U.S. as a whole. So that's kind of how they did this. Google told Axios that its map represents the uniquely searched cookies across the U.S., and it defines uniquely searched as a term that is overrepresented in a region compared to the country.
Okay.
Hmm.
The data showed a strong presence of international-style cookies, particularly on the East Coast, with a high concentration of Italian Christmas cookies. Gingerbread was the top cookie for seven states and D.C., while peanut butter cookie varieties, the most searched for in seven states.
I'm surprised. Spritz cookies. Are those Italian?
They can be, yes.
Okay, because those are awesome, and I know a lot of people make those this time of year.
Yeah, six states, again, had the Italian Christmas cookies at their top search cookie, and five sugar Christmas cookies also. Last year, four states had keto cookies, and another four states had gluten-free Christmas cookies as their most searched for holiday cookie.
There you go.
Keto?
Keto. Did I say keto?
Yeah, you did.
I meant keto, yeah.
Keto.
And that is one of those ones now where it is really kind of cool to see the evolution of a lot of that when it comes to especially I know more about gluten-free stuff and only because my best friend and his family and some other people I know that have really been on that like in early days of getting on that. I'm being completely honest with the audience. I don't notice I notice a difference in taste, but it's not bad to me. But otherwise, I don't notice a huge difference in the way my body reacts to gluten or non-gluten stuff.
Right.
But I have not gone like deep into that or anything like that. I'm just saying. But to me, I've never really. I like the variety. I like the different flavors and stuff, and I've really been enjoying more of those things.
And let me tell you, gluten-free products have come a long way.
Yes, can only
very long way.
I think about my daughter, my youngest, Isabel, when we found out she was, you know, lactose intolerant, and, you know, going to the store and just begging them to have, you know, somewhere around here carried like almond milk or whatever or something
soy
like
milk,
that.
Yeah.
Soy
mm-hmm.
milk. And back then, yes. And just finding one thing that, there's like 90 options like now. There's like a ton of options out there for those things. Let's see. Let's go look at the list here and see where these where we ranked. Where did Wisconsin rank? What was the cookie we searched the most in Wisconsin? And it was peanut butter blossoms. Most searched for cookie, peanut butter blossoms. Candy cane cookies were really big in a lot of other states as well. Trying to remember what those were.
Seth. Mom has a wonderful recipe for it, but you make one dough and then you split it in half and you can put food coloring and possibly some peppermint extract in it so it tastes like peppermint. And then you braid the dough and hook it so it looks like a candy cane. You bake it that way.
Linzer cookies. I had to look those up. I forgot what those were. Now I remember.
What are they?
They're the like the fancier cookies. Remember, like you get they usually come in the tins.
Yep.
And they've always got like usually like jelly on them or something like that,
or like a little gumdrop or something.
Yeah, they always look cute or nice.
I looked them up; they look yummy too.
Yes.
They do. I would eat them, but I'm not a huge fan of a cookie that it looks too nice to eat. I like a messy cookie. I like a messy cookie. Have you heard of red velvet cookies?
Yes.
Why have I never heard of this? Why do the people in my life keep this from me? Why am I just now hearing about red velvet cookies?
They are yummy.
Oh, my goodness. They look amazing. I don't know if I like the white chocolate, though. I'd rather try the chocolate. How about chocolate? I suppose they do that because it probably tastes better, the white chocolate over dark chocolate.
It looks
pretty.
The
contrast.
See, I push against that. That almost borderline infuriates me that you would go with look over taste when it comes
to
cookies.
Some people like white chocolate.
Yeah.
This is a newsflash for you, I know, James.
No.
I tell you what, I will have to make my great-grandmother's recipe. She made a chocolate cake cookie with a chocolate icing.
Nice.
And that was one of the Christmas staples in our house. So
that's a good one. My dad is a gigantic white chocolate fan, Mel. So
I know.
That's right. I told you that.
I knew that as soon as I said it out loud, but I just still had to say it.
I don't know how he is, though. I don't get it. White chocolate, if I eat too much of it, gives me a headache.
Like, really?
It always has. Yeah. Since I was a kid. Yeah. I don't know why.
It just tastes like wax to me.
Yeah.
It's just not. Yeah. It's not my thing. No. We just talked about Christmas cookies for almost 15 minutes, you two. That was awesome. That was a fun segment. It's a good point. We got more food talk coming up later at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour. The kitchen will be open. Everybody be listening for that. In between then, though, of course, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up, along with an update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, coming right here to the morning show on WFHR.